This is my third message in our series of Beatitudes. And if you've missed the previous messages, you can listen to them online at ianhendricks.podbean.com. And all our messages each Sunday are posted there so you can catch up on them. And sometimes I send them out to you as well. Have you ever prayed asking God to change a situation and it seemed like your prayers went unanswered? Perhaps it's not that God didn't answer your prayer. It's not because you were not praying right. And it's not that God didn't want to change your situation. What God was actually wanting to do was to change you. And in sometimes our most challenging times in our lives, we pray for God to change a situation. We look to God to change a circumstance. We look to God to provide in some way, miraculously for us. When very often what God is doing is trying to work within us. And when God does a work within us, no matter what happens around us, we are able to stand strong and tall. And as we look at the emphasis of attitude, what is it that separates the sheep from the goat? What is it that separates someone who is successful from someone who isn't? What is it that separates someone who overcomes from someone who succumbs to things? It's attitude. And as we've been learning, is you are the owner of your attitude. And if you and I are the owners of our attitude, if we keep our attitude right, what do? We are able to order our environment. We're able to bring order sometimes into situations where there is chaos because our attitude is right. Because if our attitude is wrong, we will bring confusion and conflict. But if our attitude is right, we can bring order and lead ourselves through sometimes the most difficult and challenging of situations. So, what can I do in those moments and times in my life that are challenging, facing a challenging time at work? I could be facing a difficult time within the home or in a relationship with somebody, with my finances, with myself. What can I do to effectively take leadership of my life and my attitude so that it measures up, as we've been learning, to that attitude of Jesus Christ, so as I can come through and I can be an overcomer and not someone who succumbs? I can be somebody who is successful and not somebody who is unable to succeed. Where I can become who I need to be. I believe one of the key instruments that God has given us is gratitude. Gratitude has the power to transform, to change, to unlock situations and circumstances in our life like perhaps we have never appreciated as much before. I want you to turn to your Bibles, to the book of Psalm chapter 118 verses 1 to 6. And this is David writing. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. When you look at this whole psalm, there is something that is repeated in the first three times. And we know through studying the Bible that whenever something is repeated more than once, in succession, for example, like the word holy, very often you see the Bible narrating the word holy, but it's never just once. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What is that? That is, in today's terms, bold text, trying to get our attention. And whenever God repeats something here, again, we see there's this repetition three times. Give thanks, for the Lord is good. Israel, give thanks, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. Aaron, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. What God is trying to say to us through this psalm is that we need to maintain an attitude of gratitude when we are hard-pressed on every side. Because it is difficult to give thanks when everything is going wrong. Yes? When you forget the keys to your door at home, and you slam the door and you've walked out, and after a hard day's work you come home and you rummage through your bag and you discover that you do not have the keys to get in, and you are desperate to get back home, that is not a moment that you're thinking of saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You're thinking of somebody you can blame, if not yourself. You're thinking of, how can I break down this door? How can I overcome this difficult situation? And each of us can relate to times where we have been in these challenging moments that may not have been as life-changing. But it's when we practice gratitude in the little things that we can practice gratitude in the bigger, difficult times of our life. And so, how grateful are you? And especially in a society where I feel gratitude is missing, our ability to communicate gratefully is missing, because we have become consumers. And there is an expectation that everybody should meet my need. If I'm paying for something, they should meet my need. If they're serving me, there is a certain expectation that we all have. Now, it's not wrong to have that, because that is there. But even that expectation must be with an attitude of gratitude. When a server serves you, even though he is paid to serve you, and you do not have to tip him anymore, whether he served you well or not in a restaurant, we still have to be grateful that he brought the food to your table. And developing and maintaining that attitude of gratitude is so key. I want you to understand that it is easy to lose that attitude of gratitude, because circumstances will determine us to think otherwise. I said earlier on, when we pray asking God to change the situation, very often what God is doing is He begins to change things by beginning a work in us. Our attitude, your attitude, determines your outlook on life. If you complain all the time and feel you have been hard done by, you are fighting a losing battle. You do that long enough, and what you have been proclaiming is what will become your reality. I'm not suggesting you name it and claim it, but there is definitely power in our words. Every time I speak something negative, whether it's to myself or into a circumstance or situation, I am empowering the powers that be. I am giving them the opportunity to alter something because I have not altered my attitude. And let me tell you, the enemy is looking for every opportunity to bring confusion and strife and conflict and disruption in our lives. And the genius of our leadership is identifying the work of the enemy and learning to lead through even the most difficult times. And let me tell you, the only thing you have is your attitude when it comes to it. I want to talk about attitude alterations. Ask yourself the question, do I need to alter my attitude? Are there changes that I need to make to me so that my world is better ordered? And how can I begin to make those changes? What the most powerful way to do that is to have an attitude of contentment. Paul talks about being content in every situation. Now, instinctively, we are most content when everything is going right. I know when I'm at a restaurant and I'm enjoying a meal and everything's going right, the meal is really nice. And then the waiter forgets to bring my roti on time, or my drink because I'm parched and thirsty. All of a sudden, that spirit of contentment has left me, and I move into the mode of complaining. I'd like to speak to the manager, please. This is absolutely unacceptable. Now, it's not wrong to have certain standards of service and level, you know, agreed levels of service. But even though that must be done with an attitude of gratitude. Because when our intention is to bring down and not to lift up, the outcome will always be a put down. Do you know what I mean? And you come sit with a meal with me. I'm no easy person to please when I'm in a restaurant. But my intention is never to bring the individual down. It is in some way to bring change for the better. Speak to my family. There have been restaurants where I've altered how they clean their tables. But I've had to get the manager's attention. I've had to... You might perceive me as complaining, but my intention was to bring about change that would allow my environment while I'm there and others' environments to be better. You with me? But if all I did was complain, all I would have left behind is bitterness and strife, or maybe someone who thinks really poorly of me, and I'd have walked out feeling better that I complained. But I haven't changed, the circumstance hasn't changed, everything remains the same. But I believe, as believers, when we take leadership of little situations and we learn to lead through those difficult times, we begin to influence rather than being influenced. We begin to be the dog that wags the tail rather than the tail that is...
Oh, sweet.
My dog doesn't have a tail.
So is it.
We've got to learn to create an environment of contentment and gratitude, because that breaks down the walls of discontentment and conflict. You try in the midst of a heated argument, just be grateful to somebody. Just say something positive back to them. See how that can diffuse the most awkward of circumstances. You know, how we perceive life is so important, and how we perceive life is determined by our attitude. And our attitude is something that we own. So if I want to perceive life differently, what do I need to do? I need to take responsibility for my attitude and alter it so that I perceive life with the right attitude. I've learned in life, when you're looking at people, you know my weaknesses for what you know them to be, the ones that are visible. I understand the weaknesses that each of us carry, but I've learned to look at people as number 10s. Not to see them as a 7 or a 3 or a 2 or a 1 work in progress. We all work in progress. But I start off at seeing you as a number 10. That's another word for perfection. Why? Because when I see you with a number 10, my attitude towards you will be to treat you like a number 10. Why? Because I've already placed a value on you. A value that is the highest it can ever be, a number 10. And so how I relate to you will be, because I value you, I will relate to you with an attitude of gratitude. That doesn't mean to say you won't make a mistake. It doesn't mean to say that you won't always make the mark. It doesn't mean to say that I don't have a right to speak into your life and vice versa. But our starting point is not zero. Our starting point is not what a dirty, rotten scoundrel this person is. Our starting point is, I see the best in you. Because if I see the best in you, I can manage the rest in you. Amen. But if all I'm looking at what is missing, I'm perceiving you, my circumstances, my life, in the wrong way. And I need to make an attitude adjustment. Because you will always be work in progress as I am always work in progress. Amen. What's the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? What differentiates an obstacle from an opportunity? Our attitude. If somebody is blocking your way like they do in the city of Mumbai, an obstacle. The other day I was driving down the street, and I had someone behind me beeping me insistently. There was nowhere to go, but he seemed to want to get ahead of me. Repeated beeping on a main road with nowhere to go. And I had to keep my attitude right. He made no alterations at all. It just got worse and worse. To him, I was an obstacle. To myself, I saw him as an opportunity to check my attitude and to come through the winner rather than the guy who's going to go out and get upset with him. Sometimes the prison of discontentment is created by our own hands. John Maxwell says this. So we've got to learn to create an environment of contentment and gratitude, because it breaks down all these things in our lives. Let your attitude be outstanding so that you can stand up and fight the most difficult of circumstances, whatever they are. I remember when I grew up in Baikala with the kids, you always knew the kids that would always give you trouble. They always had an attitude. And God help you if they own the bat. And you were playing cricket, and there was only one bat amongst the two teams. And God help you if the owner of the bat had a bad attitude. Because the moment things were not going his way,
he had a bad attitude.
That's a good one. That was the end of a very, very interesting innings. because he would put that bat under his arm and go away. He would not be outstanding, he would be standing out. And at times like that, where we feel like life's unfair, where we feel like in a team things are not working the way they should, don't stand out and take your toys and, you know, go sit in the corner. Step up and say, how can I view what's happening in this, in my team differently? How can I lead and help make this situation and circumstance better? How can I actually stand up rather than stand out? Because when you stand out, what you're really saying is, I'm checking out. And there's only so many times that you can check out. There eventually comes a time where you are actually all alone. In his book, John Maxwell talks about how high can you climb, and he says this. He says, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around you. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. What does that mean for us to look up? It means I change the focus of my outlook. It means I am looking beyond myself to God. And what does that psalm say? Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and He brought me in to a spacious place. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. When our attitudes are right, God is able to move us to a better place. When our attitudes are not right, we keep ourselves imprisoned in the same place that God never intended for us to remain. And so the challenge for us is, what alterations do I need to make to my attitude in any given situation so that God can lead me to a more spacious place? Amen. And maintaining a right attitude is something that you do in faith, because it is not dependent on somebody else's response to you. It is not dependent on somebody else's do's or don'ts or whatever. It is simply what you take responsibility for. And you say, God, whatever it is, I'm going to give thanks to you. However challenging the situation is, I know that your love endures forever. And if I'm uncertain the first time, I'll say it again. Ian, God is good. His love endures forever. Be grateful. Oh, don't forget, Ian, again, God is good. He's going to come through for you. His love endures forever. Amen. Bold and strong, remind ourselves of God's goodness and His greatness, because that helps us to develop an attitude of gratitude. That brings us into spacious places, whether that's in your place of work, whether it's in your relationships within the home, with your friendships, whatever is happening to you. It changes everything when our attitude is right. And I believe that is a winning attitude. That is what separates the sheep from the goat. It's what separates the overcomer from the one who succumbs. It's what separates the one who's successful from the one who is not. What kind of a person do you want to be? What kind of an outlook do you want to have on your life? Do you want to move from a place of confinement to a place of spaciousness? Your attitude will move you. Because God watches our attitude and He always responds to the right attitude. What does God do? He always responds to the right attitude. I'm going to close with this very familiar story. There were two types of givers. Jesus was talking to disciples and He pointed out to the guy who was bringing a lot of money to the temple. And for want of a better word, to put in today's context, he came with a lot of band baja. And he made a big hullabaloo about how much money he was giving to the house of God, to the temple. And then Jesus turns his attention to a simple poor widow who perhaps was bringing a very little amount of money into the house of God. And she did very quietly, without anybody really knowing, probably a little bashful that she was bringing such a small amount. And Jesus notices her putting it into the offering. And he turns around and he says to his disciples in the crowd watching, he said, "Let me tell you, she gave much more than the guy who came with the big band baja, the big hullabaloo about how much he was giving." What was it that Jesus was looking at? He was not looking at the sacrifice that I was making. He was looking at the attitude in which I offered my sacrifice. Amen. So when I give, whatever I give of myself to God, when I offer myself as a living sacrifice, as we looked last week at Romans 12:1, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but transform, renew your thinking in keeping with God's word, and offer your life as a living sacrifice. It's the least that you can do when you come to serve God. And when you do that, you are able to understand the good and the pleasing will of God. Amen. When I have the attitude in check. I want to encourage us here in life to maintain that attitude in all our relationships. I want us to maintain that attitude in all our dealings with people. Because when we do that, what we are doing is we are taking forward the attitude and the spirit and the nature and the character of God and saying, "This is who Jesus is. This is my Jesus. This is the Jesus I want you to see. This is the Jesus who can change your life. This is the Jesus who changed my life." Amen. And people are always attracted to the truth. They're always attracted to what is real. Amen. Let's be those kind of people in all our interactions, wherever we are. And let God do what only He can do. Amen. I love how this psalm ends, and I want to remind you of the hope that we have. It says, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper." Let's bow our heads this morning. I pray God has spoken to you. I pray in some way you are looking at how you can always see the best in every circumstance and situation. How you'll always look for the best in every individual, so as you can take care of the rest of those challenging things in your life. I pray that you would always maintain the right attitude in everything that you are looking to achieve in life, so as you perceive things correctly and you take leadership of every circumstance in your life by maintaining the right attitude. This morning, as we come to the communion table, come to it with an attitude of gratitude, thanking God for all that He has done for you. Thanking Him that He has loved you and accepted you, and that He has created the spacious place for you to come into. And by faith, know that He will bring you to that place.